There are times when you read different biographies and stories from the past that you are deeply impressed by servants of the Lord that exercised regular faith and as a result saw unbelievable things happen. I remember reading Howard Taylor's story, The Growth of a Soul, which is, of course, Hudson Taylor's spiritual journey. And to watch God work in his life and bring him to faith, and then to see the extraordinary answer of God in allowing him to reach every province in the vast country of China. That's still an amazing thought. And it shows what will happen if we will trust the Lord. Well, I want to take in our series here on the fruit of the Spirit a look at one part of the fruit of the Spirit that is often just not thought about because of the very nature of what the word means. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see this here. We often think of the first few aspects of the fruit, but here we have one that is very important and is actually extremely encouraging. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and here's the one we're going to look at, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Don't often talk about the fruit of the Spirit being faith. And the reason for that is the very nature of faith, what it means, and sometimes a little bit of confusion is how can that fit in as part of the fruit of the Spirit. But it's very important for us to see this. Now let's just talk about the word faith. The word faith means to put your trust in, to put your dependence upon. It is the exercise of one's will in the scriptural context based upon God's word. It's an action of the will. For salvation, we read Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified, legally declared righteous by faith without the deeds of the law. So we see one important aspect here is that God's favor in salvation, and of course God's favor in sanctification, comes not through merit and the work of human strength, but by faith in God's word, and God is the one that manifests himself through his grace. So faith is trusting that God's way, God's word is right, our way is wrong and inadequate, and that we must trust, depend upon him alone. Now, let me give you some simple thoughts here about faith that'll help us in figuring out how can faith be part of the fruit of the Spirit. Because we very definitely see in Scripture that God created us in his image and we have a sovereign free will in the sense that that is what makes us in his image. And that's the dynamic that causes us to have a personal relationship to God and is key to our personhood. You cannot take away from a real will or you have no real person. And so we must maintain that, and yet this matter of faith, which is the exercise of our will in depending upon God by depending directly upon his word, there are some supernatural elements around it that does not cause us to violate it, but we need to understand the importance of that. First of all, God must illumine our minds before we can have faith. Why is that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we must understand at least the basic of what the word means before I can exercise faith in it. If I'm going to step out on a bridge to go over a river, I've got to know there's a bridge there. In other words, I can't exercise faith in a bridge I don't see. So God has to take truth and, there it is. I mean, at least you understand you got to make a decision about it. So that's illumination. And we need to understand that. As 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so that's the wonderful promise that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples, that the second thought here is that the Holy Spirit will illumine by convicting or convincing us, reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. God, the Spirit, takes the Word of God, the basics of it, shows us that we're a sinner, and we deserve judgment, that Christ is righteous, we need his righteousness, and so forth, the basics of the gospel. And so there has to be knowing that there is the Word of God, the basics of it, and there has to be some conviction of God's Word as he illumines it. And so those are essential. By the way, when we intercede for people, what do we pray for? Dr. Jim mentioned this the other day to the staff and then to our prayer meeting. We need to pray, number one, Spirit of God, convict, convince the people that we're praying for. Number two, take away the deception of Satan. And then, of course, as only Dr. Jim can do it, his third point is send the hornets, you know, and that's a great principle. He will not violate our will, but he can sure make us willing, okay? It's great. That's a great 1, 2, 3 set of points on interceding for prayer. That's what's the little book? I always forget the name. Praying Effectively for the Lost has the basic same ideas in it. And so we must have the gift of God's working in our life to have truth brought to us. By the way, we're part of that, getting the gospel out. Got to have illumination, got to have conviction. But we have to take the step of faith based upon that, upon the Word that we have had enough light to see and conviction, understand that we need, but God will not violate our will. We must exercise faith. Now, this, of course, is not speaking about salvation faith here. The fruit of the Spirit is for whom? Those who have the Spirit. Who are the ones that have the Spirit? Those who are already saved by grace, okay? So we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit the moment we accept Christ as our Savior. And so being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, is when we yield to him and he is in control, and all aspects of the fruit of the Spirit show themselves, including this matter of faith. Well, how does that work? Very important point here. You see, we need his regular working to grow in the Lord. And so a Christian who is yielding by faith one moment in which the Holy Spirit will give love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on, that working of the Spirit is a further illumination, a further working that leads us to more and more steps of faith. The Holy Spirit doesn't take the steps of faith for us. He gives us the power we need so that we can keep moving forward. Now, let me tell you, who this week do you think made the most steps of faith? Well, it's the people who are walking in the Spirit. Those who have a tender heart and are working. Our rebellious, stubborn Christians who are walking in the flesh, taking steps of faith? No, it's rather duh, you know, obviously not. So what happens is, this is what's exciting, folks. You yield to God right now, and you let the Lord work. He's going to be working mightily to cause you to yield to him in the next moment, and in the next moment, and in the next moment. That's the whole concept of being a faithful Christian. We are a Christian characterized by a life of faith, not a life of flesh. a life of spirit empowerment, not a life of human dependence. A faithful Christian is not just this dramatic character, muscle-empowered type Christian that just has arrived. And sometimes we think of that, don't we? A faithful man. Well, obviously, there's a lot of character being developed and knowledge being accumulated the more we walk with the Lord. But a faithful man is a man who just continues to walk by faith. Because you can step out of being faithful very quickly. The moment you say no to God, the minute you say no to the Spirit of God working, the minute you resist Him, you've lost that, you see. So it's very important for us to realize that the fruit of the Spirit is very vital, because at that moment it gives us the power to love, which is Christ, His love. He gives us the love of the Lord, or the joy of the Lord. He gives us His peace. He gives us that long-suffering in our relationships. He gives us that sweet graciousness and that goodness that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. And He gives us the tools we need to take the next steps of faith that we need to take. By the way, in Romans 5, some of those steps may be trials. Faith leads to the trying of our faith, which worketh endurance, continuing faith, which will build confidence, an expectant confidence, hope in our life that continues to mature us. That's a whole other aspect of the spiritual life. So every time we take a step of faith and allow the Spirit of God to control, and the fruit of the Spirit is manifest, I've got the light on for the next step. It's like going on a pathway at night with all the light I need for the next step and the encouragement I need to take those steps. When I'm not walking in the Spirit and there are key decisions I need to make by faith, the light's not on. Now, God's gracious. He works. He convicts, answers to other people's prayers and previous prayers of ours. But the whole point is one step in which you have the fruit of the Spirit makes it to where the next step of faith is right there to be taken. And the next step. You know what that means? You can live a consistent Christian life. Walk this moment in the power of the Spirit. You got everything you need for the next moment. And then the next moment. And then the next moment. You can stay consistent. Now, we've got the flesh, we've got issues, Satan's going to attack us. But I'm telling you, Christians who have a sincere, fully submissive heart to God can be faithful men and women. In fact, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. He hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. You see, Paul, after he got saved, even though he was a persecutor of Christians and was horrified at his past, from that moment on in Damascus and then down to Jerusalem and back up north into Syria, each step of the way, with the help of Barnabas, with the help first of Ananias and then Barnabas and others, he continued to let the Spirit of God work on the light that he had. He took steps of faith, continued to be filled with the Spirit, had more light, had more conviction, kept growing, and he was faithful so that God then could put him in the ministry. But it's all about the fact that God enabled him to do it. You see, the reason Hudson Taylor got to the place that God would enable him and counted him to be able to have this enormous power to reach China was that he was faithful, full of faith, based upon being filled with the Spirit on a regular basis and taking each step based upon that forward with the Lord. Now, it is true, as I've already intimated, the opportunities for usefulness come to the faithful, not to the talented, not to the achieving, not to those that are trying to earn spiritual brownie points, trying to be religious. No, God gives great power, blessing, opportunities, open doors to those who are simply this moment, the next moment, filled with the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, faith leads to faith, leads to faith. Does that sound familiar from Romans 1? From faith to faith to faith to faith. You see, just humble, obedient, I am following the obedience pathway. Christians are Christians that God can work with, and just truth explodes, God's power becomes real, confidence begins to develop, and then those people can be put into special places of usefulness, not based even upon your gifting. We all have gifting. It is all based upon faithfulness. Who are we supposed to, in discipleship, put extra effort in so that they can have generational impact? 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. See, the whole thing about multiplying discipleship is to so have the power of God as a discipler, and to so be used of God to meet the needs of someone as they're growing in the Lord, is to keep them in a place in which they're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, so that they are seeing God's hand and God's hand, and they're overcoming the trials. They become convinced of God's word. They begin to become more and more able on their own to walk in faith. And the Spirit of God will enable them to be faithful and then to teach others also. And so there are wonderful privileges and opportunities for folks to serve the Lord that way. You know, what happens so often is we think of faithfulness as enduring human perseverance. Don't we usually think of that? I mean, tough it out. Grin and bear it. Clench your teeth. Get it done. Now, there does need to be a determination, but folks, it is the Spirit of God producing fruit in our life. The story you probably heard about a chaplain who was ministering to a dying boy, and he said, "You got any message for your mother?" And he says, "Yes, tell her I'm dying happy." He had gotten saved. "Anything else?" He said, "Write to my Sunday school teacher. Tell her that I died a Christian and I've never forgotten her teaching." The chaplain evidently gave his address. The Sunday school teacher wrote back and simply said, "Pray for me. I just resigned from being a Sunday school teacher." You see, that's human endurance. What we need is supernaturally empowered faithfulness, where God is growing us, that we're not just, you know, gutting it out and being a good Christian, but we're being nurtured, we're learning through the trials, we're seeing how real God is, and the light just gets brighter and brighter, the truth becomes more real, there's more that God is doing, our character gets stronger, God gives us spiritual discipline that's by His grace. And to those, God gives great opportunities, and it's a wonderful thing. Well, just touched on that subject, but I hope you don't miss out on that one little part of the fruit of the Spirit. That's exciting. It's one of the reasons you need to walk with God right now and have the fruit of the Spirit, so you can walk. When you walk out of this auditorium, you got the light you need. Out in the parking lot, you need light, but you need spiritual light. And did you know you can wake up tomorrow morning right in the will of God? You can end tomorrow in the will of God. You can be stronger tomorrow night than you were tonight. You can be stronger next week than you are this week. Guaranteed, if you'll simply walk in the Spirit, because the Spirit will lead you, illumine you, convict you to take the next step of faith. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that He will do that if we will yield to Him.